Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to a Talking Rugby Union podcast. We're back again, not so long after the last one, I don't think, when myself and Chris Heal picked out our all-time 15s. And we're not doing that again today, but we're going to be talking a lot more about rugby journalism, kind of as the industry as a whole. And we're joined by someone very special. We're all, not only joined by Chris Heal today, we've also got Max Ashcroft.
Yep. Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Yeah, all good, mate. It's lovely weather, isn't it, considering the horrible things that are going on?
Yeah, very much so. You've got to make the most of it.
Definitely. And our very special guest is a man who was embedded with Talking Rugby Union for several years before myself and Chris even got involved, Austin Hailwood.
Hi, guys. Yeah, pleasure to be back. Very nice of you to invite me.
Yeah, no, it's good to have you back, Austin. I know it's been a few years now, but it's good to get you on the podcast. I know we've been wanting to do it for a while.
It's good, yeah. A home away from home, so it's nice to be back.
Good.
And for anyone that doesn't know, Austin is now one of the producers, sports broadcasters, sports reporters with BBC, based out of Media City. I think I've got that one right, Austin.
That's right, yeah.
And obviously, you were talking rugby union before that, after your time at Loughborough University. So, I mean, if we could just quickly talk about how you first got involved with TRU, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, well, TRU really was my first step into sports journalism after leaving university, as you said. I've always been good friends with Max for my sins throughout our schooling days and rugby days. But, yeah, obviously, Max and his dad had this big idea to launch TRU, and then Max followed through with it and started from the ground up, really. And I was lucky enough to come in quite early on, so I left university having done a little bit of reporting and broadcasting when I was there, but only sort of student media stuff. And this was the kind of industry that I always wanted to get in. Rugby, as I've said, was always my sort of main sport, so it was a perfect fit, really, to start working with Max and start building TRU up, really. So it was very early stages when I first joined. But then slowly the two of us and Max Gothic as well started to put things in place and build it up and I guess start the journey to where it is today that you guys have taken on and made so much more of.
And what year was that? Because obviously Talking Rugby Union's been around getting on to 10 years now. So what year was it that you first got involved? Oof,
that is a good question. So I left university at Loughborough in 2013. So I joined pretty soon after, really, just the summer of 2013. So 7 years ago, nearly.
Yeah, Max, it must have been a godsend for you to have someone very keen on being involved in sports media approaching you. And it was not only someone young and skillful at the craft, but was also someone that you'd known for years and years.
Yeah, I think I was very lucky to have Austin involved in the early stages, because I think it was good to have someone that you're close to and you trust, which was really important. And so Austin sort of fitted the bill in every sort of way. The reason we built TRU was originally to sort of help emerging talent. That was our main focus back in the day. That's why we got so big early on, is because we looked at academy rugby, we looked at emerging stories. And like with you guys as well, it was in the early stages of Austin's career. And that's what I liked about the whole process and what I liked about him being involved. And to be honest, if it wasn't for all the hard work that Austin put in early on, we definitely wouldn't be where we are today. And it's also, from my point of view, seeing all your guys' stories and all how your careers are developing is basically what the whole ethos of Talking Rugby Union is. And I think we know how difficult an industry it is, and you guys will know more than anyone how difficult it is. And this has just always been a platform to help university students, college students, to have that voice. We're really lucky that rugby is a friendly industry, you know, and we've always been able to have that platform. So it's been great to see Austin doing what he's been doing with the BBC. And I know recently, Austin, you did quite a bit with the Six Nations and had a lot of good airtime there, which was great to see. And, you know, again, from Joe and Chris's point of view, it'd be, you know, you guys are the leading journalists within rugby, you know, at such an early age. And that's great to see.
Yeah, it was, to be honest. Just picking up on that from Max, what he was mentioning a bit earlier, the whole idea with Talking Rugby Union to focus on bits of rugby that no other source was really tapping into, that's exactly what I always loved. So looking at emerging talent was a big part of it for me. So I always loved being a part of TRU for that reason, whether it was university players or academy players, no one else has really given them the coverage. And we started off in those early days highlighting how good some of these players are, and now they're, you know, full internationals and Lions players. So we really gave them a sort of that first opening, I guess, to the rugby public. It was just a small insight into their beginnings. So that's what I always loved about TRU.
Yeah, and I think we did that at such an early, you know, focus on university rugby, academy rugby. We probably didn't tap in as much as National League back then, but we did it.
Yeah.
And to be honest, we dominated those three areas, and we have done for the last 10 years, and no one's been able to even touch those areas. So that's every credit to all the early work that we've done. And there's no one even has come close. Austin probably won't like me saying this, but, you know, in terms of the coverage that we do at those levels compared to what the BBC are doing, I know he won't like me saying that, but, you know, we've really put a big focus on those areas, and we're very proud of that. And I know Austin is, and it was, you know, it was his, you know, we did that together at such an early stage and sort of made it our own.
And obviously, in the early days, obviously, it's important to get your name out there as much as possible. Is there any moments that stand out from those early years that still kind of stick with you now in the professional environment that you're in?
Loads of it, to be honest. I think I always wanted to get into broadcast journalism. That was always the sort of the passion that I had, whether it be radio or TV. And we did so much of that in those early days with TRU. And Max mentioned it there. I was lucky enough to do a bit of coverage with the Six Nations, the Six Nations tournament that's still yet to be finished, of course. So I was doing a bit of coverage with that. I was reporting on Wales, Italy in Cardiff, and then Ireland, Wales in Dublin for sort of BBC Breakfast and BBC News. And to be honest, the difference between reporting for the BBC and what we were doing in those early days for TRU, it's just a bigger camera, to be honest. It was exactly the same as what I always learned from those early days. And I'll always have those memories that are still helping me to this day. It was either me and Max or me and Max Skofik who were going out to university games or academy matches. And we were putting reports together, doing pieces from the side of the games, perhaps a wrap up at full time and interviews. And it's all exactly the same. So there were so many memories like that, whether it be Leeds Carnegie or Twickenham itself, that are still helping me to this day, to be honest.
I was going to say the one memory that sticks in my mind, Austin, was I think you'd literally just started, and we got all that. Did we get all that press access to Sale Sharks?
That was it. Yeah, I remember that well.
It was literally, you just got thrown right in the deep end, didn't you?
I think, to be honest, that was my first day before I even came into the TRU office. That was my first day working for TRU. So not only was it a bit of a face in talking to pretty much the entire sales squad, just as fate would have it, the first interview was Steve Diamond. So that was my first interview that wasn't a university rugby player or coach. So it was very much a baptism of fire, to be honest, with Steve Diamond, who does have a bit of a reputation, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind me saying, for not being the easiest of people to chat to in an interview. And luckily, it went okay. Didn't bite my head off too much. But I sort of thought if I could get through that, then I suppose there's not many who will be tougher.
No, every credit's here, because that's the thing. And Joe and Chris, you will know as well that it's, you know, we've always thrown you two in the deep end with it as well, because, you know, it's better to be like that. You know, you're going to perform a lot better as journalists when you get thrown into the deep end, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I agree with you, mate. Austin probably will agree with this as well. It's all about taking those opportunities when they do come around, because, you know, if, I don't know if I'm right in saying this, Austin, if you had said, oh, no, I don't really fancy going to sale today, I'm not really sure I want to do that on my own, then that could have been a big opportunity to miss, but you've been able to gather that confidence by going and speaking to Steve Diamond, like you said.
That's exactly right, yeah. I mean, speaking to him in the first place was quite a tough interview, and just doing that from the outset, really, you think, well, I did that with, you know, little prep, little experience.
Yeah.
Now, when you're doing it as a full-time job, you sort of think, well, I've learned the ropes, I've been in at the deep end before, so I've done this and I can do it. So that's key, really. And like you said, Chris, taking the opportunities is such a key point of this industry. There's no sort of rules or regulations to anything. Like there's no with the BBC, there's no sort of ladder to where you want to be. It's just a case of creating opportunities and making them, and that's throughout the sport journalism industry. So yeah. Like you say, taking the opportunity when they come is key, and then worrying about how you're going to pull it off is very much a second to it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Yeah, definitely. I think I remember my first week with TRU. It's coming on to 2 years now that I've been with TRU. And I don't know if you agree, Max, it's a bit of an interesting one, sending a message to a 19-year-old saying, please come to this village in Lancashire.
Yeah, please come to a little village in West Lancashire.
Not the first time.
And let's make something happen.
Nice report, mate.
No, but every credit to you, Joe. Like, look, you could have easily said, no, I'm not doing it. And, you know, the opportunities that you've been handed through just off your own back, coming here and doing the work experience, you know, the amount of coverage that you're doing with the MLR in America, you know, you've made that your own over there as well. And, you know, you're probably considered as one of the top writers over in that league. And, you know, same with you, Chris. You know, we've always thrown you in the deep end. You know, I remember when we first got you on board and we were driving over to Leeds to watch Leeds Beckett, I think, was it?
Yeah, and I literally brought a T-shirt in the middle of December and that was it.
Yeah.
So are all the things that you learn from those first experiences.
Yeah, I think because I'd never really done any university rugby before, and it was Max and Scott were going, let's just jump in the car and drive down to Loughborough and cover this game. And it was a bit like, well, you know, who's sorting the interviews? So that was put on your lap. You had to go and get in contact with these universities, these head coaches and directors of rugby, to make sure you're doing a good job, because anyone can turn up with a notepad and write a match report. But it was all about doing the filming, getting the interviews and making a really good job of it. And that university experience, definitely in the first years of going to Twickenham finals and stuff like that, were a massive, massive learning curve for me. And Max, you're absolutely right. It's all about chucking you into the deep end, because without that, I don't think we would be where we are today. And that's exactly what you and Austin started all those years ago. So we've built really well in terms of getting our name out there, and the contacts we have between all of us at TRU now, and building on what you guys have done is really, really positive.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
And Max, obviously your kind of role with TRU has, I believe, adapted over the years, in that you probably started off... Did you start off by writing a few articles yourself?
I attempted to, and then I think my mum probably rewrote them for me. I did try to write a few, but that was very much in the early stages, yeah.
So obviously, transpire that to now. How much has your role changed from what it was to what it is now in terms of running the business?
Yeah, I think ultimately, you can have as much good content as possible. You can have loads of good quality content, but how do you monetize that content? How do you create? How do you sort of make that commercially viable product? Because you've done most of the battle. You've done 80% of the battle when you've got all the content. Any companies out there that want to, you know, expand, it's all about content. And, you know, so what my job initially was how can we make money from this content? And, you know, we work with a lot of betting agencies, VPN companies, health and fitness companies. You know, we've got content agreements with governing bodies across the board. you know. So it's that was mainly my role during that. And then again, it's just looking at for opportunities of how we can grow the business more.
And let's talk about NCAA rugby. Obviously, Talking Rugby is the official kind of content provider for NCAA rugby, which is the third and fourth divisions of English rugby. That came about, I'm going to guess, because of Mr. Chris Heal.
I don't want to take all the credit for it.
No,
Chris, I think you should. I think you should, mate.
No, obviously, Max and Scoff have been playing in the leagues for a while. I mean, Max is racking up to near 400 appearances now for Sedge. But you know, I'd come back from travelling and finished my uni degree at Sunderland. I'd just come back from Brazil and I'd started just doing some free work for Stockport Rugby Club. And the guys at TRU just got in touch with me, said, you want to do some weekly roundups? And then from there, it was kind of like, well, this is my little niche to begin with. And we did a bit of a season with that. And then I think from there, it just gathered a load of momentum and we managed to have some good positive talks with the NCA, the guys at the NCA, to take control of the website. And we've just grown and grown from there. And obviously, Joe, you've come on board and fully embraced the fact that this is one of the key areas that we discussed at the start with university rugby and emerging talent. And we've managed to get a nice podcast going. We've done some video interviews and all sorts on the website. And it's just grown and grown. And I think, as Max touched on right at the start, no one else is covering the national leagues as well as we are. I mean, you look at the rugby paper, they do the match reports and stuff like that. But other than that, we are the number one place for NCAA rugby. And it's a credit to all the work that everyone's done over the sort of the last 3 or 4 years ago, definitely since the launch of the new website.
Yeah, and I think people out there probably think, is there an appetite for level 3 and 4 of English rugby? And the statistics don't lie. There's a massive appetite for it. You've got the best part of 150,000 people a month viewing that website. Mm. Now, you know, so, you know, you do the maths, it's over a million a year. And it's got a massive appetite. People want to know. So I think what we've done is just got that into, you know, we've created a good social content plan with it and got it out into people's, you know, it's easily accessible now for them. And they love it. The fans absolutely love it.
Yeah, I mean, some of the players that you see playing in leagues as well, I mean, obviously Max is top class, but I mean, some of these other guys that have had Premiership experience. It goes back to what Austin was saying before about sort of you go into these university games and you might be reporting on a Josh Beaumont, for example, and look what he's doing now. And you just find these players and you sort of follow their journeys. And that's quite one of the quite exciting things about doing the National Leagues, because someone could be playing National 2 South Rugby this year and in 4 years' time could be on the plane to a World Cup. It can happen. So that's one of the most exciting things, I think, about doing these leagues like NCAA Rugby and University Rugby.
And you can't forget Austin. We've both played with Josh.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember it well. Me and him, second row partners for Lancashire and North of England.
Yeah, no, that was good times. It's great to see where he's gone with his career. And so he's such an, you know, he's a columnist on TRU. He's a good friend of the companies. And it's great to see how he's, you know, developing his career and as an ambassador for the sport.
Yeah, doing really well. It's like you say, it really is just great to see how he's developed, because I'm sure he would be one of the first to say in his really young junior days when he was a fly half, he wasn't, you know, a standout player, but he's just someone who's always worked at it. And he's gone from that to being, you know, one of the best second rows in the country. So it's been great to see. And also, as you mentioned, Chris, obviously he's taken a different path to a lot of other people. He wasn't necessarily in an academy from a young age. He's gone through the university route. So it's great to show the different paths that are possible for younger players making it into the professional game.
Yeah, and obviously, one of the things that including kind of Josh Beaumont, is that we put a massive emphasis on hearing from players. So obviously we've got, gosh, I'm trying to think now off the top of my head, we've got Ethan Waller, Charlie Beckett, Kate Older, the Wasps ladies captain, Simon Hammersley, Johnny Liotta. We've got all these names in the game. Max, why was it so important to you to hear from the players?
I just think that, you know, we can write as much as we want, but ultimately people want to hear from the players as well. They want to know that it's giving the players a platform to voice their opinions on rugby as well, which I think is so important, and that sort of the insight that they have into the game. And, you know, it's not a lot of people out there doing these columns, and I think I know how much the pro players enjoy doing them.
And also, that's why TRU is so different, because, you know, whether it be big media companies, they don't have necessarily the connections and perhaps the friendship that Max has developed over the years, whether it be through his days, you know, playing county rugby, or then his time at Bath Uni. And then, as Chris mentioned, nearly 400 appearances for Sedge. So he's met so many of these players and played with them over the years. That's what makes TRU different, that he's got access to all these different players that you mentioned, all these columnists who are contributing.
Go on, Max.
I just think it's we have conversations, don't we, Chris, Joe, when we think about what content to push out of the month, and you know, we're only a couple of conversations or a couple of contacts away from getting an interview.
I was going to say that, Max, because Austin said there, you know, because of we may look at a player and go, well, there's no chance we can get in. But then you'll open your little black book and you might have, you know, an old coach of this player who may have his number. And that's what, like Austin says there, it just makes us just stand out a bit, because not many people have that relationship, for example, with, like Joe said, Josh Beaumont, Seb Negris, for example. It's that easy just to build up a relationship with someone. And if they're, you know, happy with what you're doing, then you can, it has legs to continue. And we've seen that with all these columnists we've got on board, and it was a really good idea probably 12, 18 months ago to get that really up and running, and we're building a good sort of selection of players at the moment.
Yeah.
Massively. And another thing that we, you know, is constantly talked about, especially in the TRU office, I don't know if it's a conversation that you have at the BBC, Austin, but paid content, so subscription services and stuff like that, talking about the union and the BBC, are completely free.
Absolutely, which I think is still a vital part of sports journalism. And so much of it now is behind a paywall, whether it be broadcasting or written, with, you know, the Athletic being a big powerhouse now in the written press. So I think the value of free journalism, particularly sports journalism, is so important to the wider public, because yeah, not everyone can afford to subscribe to all these different media outlets every month whilst paying all, you know, their mortgage and the household bills. So I think free sports journalism is definitely still vital, and because of that, it has a massive appetite.
Chris, any thoughts on this?
I echo exactly what Austin says. I think, again, that's what helps us stand out. That you know, we can create all these video interviews with all these players and all the like things like this, like podcasts and stuff, and they're all free for people to listen to. And Max is right, if we go out there and create this unique content that nobody else has got, then they're going to be, people probably question, well, how come TRU isn't behind a paywall? Because they are producing stuff that nobody else is. But I think, you know, one of our main philosophies, and between the guys who are at TRU now, and is that we want people to be passionate about rugby, and we're all passionate about the sport. And if you start closing things off with great content, and people may not see that. So, you know, we want to express how much we love the game, and some other people who also love the game. So I think that's why we stick with the philosophy we have, because it works really well.
Now, I want to kind of learn about what everyone's favourite piece of content that they have had a hand in creating the Talking Rugby Union. So we'll start off with Max Ashcroft. Max, what's the favourite piece of content that you've been a part of?
I think I'm going to say it's my favourite sort of content that we do yearly, which is the University Finals Day.
Oh, yeah.
Was that going to be yours, Joe?
No, it's just I hadn't even thought of it, and now I'm thinking about that.
you know, our annual trip to Twickenham, we get, you know, we're the only sort of media outlet there. We get access to everyone, pitch side, from the gantry, and I just think it's seeing Twickenham in that way is very, very rare.
And it's ultimately university rugby being played on the biggest stage in rugby. And the fact that we can contribute to that and we can get that out to the public and to the fans, I think is a highlight for me.
No, I remember that. I remember my first Twickenham day, which was my second week with TRU. There we go. That second week, it was Hartbury double. Oh, no, Exeter women won, and then Hartbury won the men's one. And you basically just left me on a touchline shivering for 3 hours.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah. Baptism of fire, Joe.
Yeah, treating me and keeping keen. Yeah. Just in a slightly different meaning behind that one, but... Chris, what would you say yours is?
I would have said to university finals day that's one of definitely my favourite days of the year. You know, we all meet up at Max's, nice little coaster on the way down to Twickenham, and you know, the experience of getting there and having that exclusive access to these players and these coaches is fantastic. But I would say probably we're talking about people throwing into the deep end. Mine was probably the 2015 World Cup. Now, when I'd only started working for TRU for probably about 6 or 9 months, I think it was, and Max Markin's staff were like, right, let's apply for as many games as possible. And we ended up getting absolutely loads, didn't we, Max? It was, you know, we must have had nearly all of the group stage games and then a lot of the sort of the knockout phase games. And I just remember being sat in a hotel room, I think it was the third and fourth place playoff, sorry, between South Africa and Argentina, thinking, wow, how much work have we done? And I was going through how many games that I'd covered, and it was like 10 games during the tournament. And some of them were on my own at Twickenham, or going down to Ellen Road on my own, or meeting up with Max in Gloucester. And I was thinking, what an experience for any young journalist to sort of be able to have the freedom to go and do cover the world's biggest rugby tournament after working for a company for 6 to 9 months. So I'd have to say the 2015 World Cup. But again, the interviews and the access we got there was something I'd never experienced before because of how soon after I'd come out of university. So yeah, 2015 World Cup has to be mine.
I've got one for you, Chris, though.
Go on, mate.
I quite enjoyed.
I bet I don't.
When we went to Gloucester for the media day.
When I called mate Danny Cipriani, yeah.
Yeah, Danny, and you were just sat there waiting to do some interviews, and Danny Cipriani comes and sits right next to you, and it's like, right, interview time. And your face was a picture.
Duncan was there, just like, right, yeah, you can have a one-on-one with him before everyone else gets there. I was like, okay, here we go.
Here we go, yeah. And
I forgot about that, actually.
Yeah, that was a really good moment.
Yeah, it was.
What about when you interviewed Chris Ashton? He was your profile picture on WhatsApp.
WhatsApp for a bit, yeah. Chris Ashton, he was good. And I spoke to him. This is the thing, I think we go back to what you said, Matt. These players are just so down to earth, and it's a great industry to be involved in. I don't think I've come away from an interview with, you know, some of these big names thinking, oh, didn't really like him, or that didn't, you know, he was a bit...
I have.
Go on, Joe.
Your turn, Joe.
It's Austin's turn first.
Oh, right.
Austin's probably got some major names.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that. I wouldn't say that. But firstly, just picking up on what you were saying, Chris, I think in my experience since leaving TRU with the BBC, obviously, I don't just focus on rugby now, although that is still the sport I enjoy covering the most. But there's definitely something a bit special, I guess, in covering rugby compared to other sports, just the access and the way you're treated, just how friendly people are. On the whole, clubs just can't seem to do enough, and players to help out, really, and give you that access. Whereas with football, you know, you can be lucky if you ever get to have a one-on-one with a Premier League player, at least. So, yeah, there's something definitely special about rugby in that sense, and I've always loved it for that.
I'd agree with that, Austin, because I did a bit of work at Sky, and football was a nightmare to get sorted with interviews. And you request Wayne Rooney, and you'd end up with an Argentinian left back who doesn't speak a word of English.
So he doesn't even play for Man United.
Exactly. It's one of them. Like, and that's what I learned with Sky, that, you know, football is a really tough environment. It's cutthroat in terms of getting exactly what you want, whereas rugby seem a lot more accommodating, which is probably why I decided to follow the path, really, of that. But yeah, it's a good point, that.
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely found that in my experience. But in terms of my, I suppose my favourite memory of being with TRU was we went to Allianz Park, or as it was known then. I don't think the naming change has come quite into effect yet because the season's not finished. Anyway, digressing. So Allianz Park, home of Saracens, of course, and Dave Strettle, who was still there at the time, had set up a sevens and the city. It was called a big sevens tournament in the one day. And it was a couple of months before the Commonwealth Games that were taking place in Glasgow. So that must have been 2014, I think. And because of that, England and Scotland and a few other national teams used it as a bit of a warm-up tournament. So, yeah, just a couple of months, we got to speak to most of the England squad before the Commonwealth Games, the head coach at the time, and a lot of the Scotland squad. And quite often they were coming up to us because we'd done things with them previously with TRU. They were coming up to us and chatting to us before they were going to, I know BT Sport had a few people there. So they were coming up to us and speaking to us first and then going to them second. So I guess that was just one of the days I enjoyed most because of the access that we had talking to big name people and players that we'd never spoken to before, like Barbados, the Barbados National 17 were there. So we had a bit of a chat with some of their lads. But as well as just enjoying the day, I guess it just reinforced what impact although I guess small at that early stage, not compared to what you guys are doing now, but what impact we'd made on the game, I guess, and how people in the game knew who we were and they were coming up to us knowing that we were, you know, the real deal. So that was a big day that I always look back on, really enjoyed. It was the middle of the summer, sevens season, full sun as well. So that obviously helped rather than a cold, wet Leeds Beckett or something like that. But
a few shandies as well.
Yeah, there were a couple after once all the work was done, of course. But yeah, so that was a great day. And of course, as you guys all mentioned, the student finals at Twickenham were a big day. I've been there and worked there previously, but just to go for that very first time as someone working there as a reporter, you know, be pitch side, be in the stands, on the gantry, in the tunnel, doing interviews. You know, it was really special just to be there. So, yeah, those are two of mine.
Right.
Well, Joe, over to you, mate.
Finish it off, Joe.
Right. I've got, I think, two that stand out probably most. I think I'll start out with the one that probably makes the most sense, which is the playoff game between Chester and Canterbury last year down in Kent.
Good shout.
Getting to go down to... That was actually quite a big... We actually went to Leeds Beckett that week as well, as I remember.
Yeah, quarter-final week, wasn't it?
Was it the quarter-final or was it... Oh, or was it the sevens that week as well?
I can't remember.
So we went down to... So we were in Leeds that week and then I was still at uni at the time. I'd just finished uni. And I was obviously probably writing assessments on the train down to Canterbury. And then, yeah, the game between Canterbury and Chester, that was pretty special. Watching Canterbury get promoted to National One for the first time. Subsequently, they've come straight back down. But, you know, history was made that day. And then, yeah, doing the live stream for that was pretty cool on Facebook. Seemed to get a lot of traction. I don't know the numbers, but...
Yeah, it did really well, didn't it? Like, the way you and Warren portrayed it and set it all up was really good. I think that's one of the best things the NCAA have done, actually.
Definitely.
It was really, really, really good. Like, the amount of people who got involved on Facebook was over and beyond what I thought we would have got. So yeah, good shout out, Joe.
Yeah, and then I'm not going to say I had several beers afterwards, but I had several beers afterwards.
Deserved.
I don't know about deserved. Warren did a lot of the legwork, but and then my second most favourite one was my interview with James English, who's the general manager of Rugby United New York in MLR, because that was the first time that an MLR interview had really taken off. I don't know if anyone really remembers. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I remember it, Joe.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Cheers for supporting me there, boys. And
I have no idea what you're about.
Yeah. just like me half the time, then. Yeah. And basically, that was the first time that an MLR interview had really taken off, really had like a decent amount of engagement. And then after that, that's when
New York started coming to me with interviews, which was a wholly unique situation. And then I think it was 2 months later, I was writing for the league on a retainer or something like that. So that was quite special, because it was just a LinkedIn job, literally just message on LinkedIn, and then you've got a 1,000-word interview and a job a few months down the line.
Awesome. That's what we were saying before, isn't it? Just taking the opportunities when they come. That's so crucial in this industry. Mm. So that's just a perfect example there of how it's worked for you, Joe.
Is that the favourite person you've interviewed, Joe, or is that a different question?
Oh, I think that's probably different. I'm trying to think, who is my favourite? Have you got a favourite person, Chris?
Other than me and my mate Dan. good question, actually. I'm going to put on the spot here now.
Exeter University coach. He really likes you, doesn't he?
Big Keith. Yeah. he does. He just picks and chooses the time he likes me. Not many people like me, actually.
It's a love-hate relationship, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, because I've been given a lot of TRU pies in the time I've been working for you.
Oh, yeah. This might get cut out.
Well, we all have, mate.
Do you know what? Actually, the first time I spoke to Josh Beaumont, actually, that sticks out, because it was sort of the first time we've done sort of the column, and we know his background and all, and how rich rugby history it is. So yeah, I'd say Josh Beaumont for me.
Hmm. See, I'd have to say Charlie Beckett for pretty much the same reason.
Yeah. Or Seb, actually. Seb, when we met him at Uni Finals Day, he was really, really good. And Max was just like, go and chat to him. He's had a B team game for Italy, so I went down, chatted to him, and from there he's just been a real big part of what we've been doing on TRU. So Josh or Seb, if I had to choose.
Fair enough. And then we'll kind of wrap up with a quick one, which is, this is broad for everyone, because we're in mad times at the minute. And I mean, I've been stood outside. I think I'm going to get arrested soon if anyone comes by. I've been stood outside this entire thing.
As long as it's the only time you've done it today, then we should be all right.
Well, you've not got a seat, Joe. You just stood up for half an hour.
Yeah, mate, commit
dedicated.
Keep jogging on the spot.
You won't believe me when I say this. I've actually been filling in potholes on drives today. That's what
it's essential, that's what I've resorted to. Essential job, that.
Key worker.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm branding myself. That's how I'm getting out today. Just saying cute, just working on a high viz and just walking around looking important. So, kind of finally, favourite sporting memories?
Rugby or
any sport?
Any sport?
Yeah.
From watching or playing?
Either.
Ooh.
Well, this is an open question now. I mean, I played at Rochdale's ground last year. That was an experience.
What? How many did you lose by again?
I mean, I played 20 minutes in each half and we must have lost like 21-0, and I played centre-half, so read into that what you will. Watching, it's got to be, for me, it's got to be Liverpool, hasn't it? And winning the Champions League in Madrid last year, it's spent an awful lot of money going over there and sleeping on suitcases in Lisbon Airport on the way home, but certainly worth every penny. I mean, I managed to watch the Premiership Rugby Final as well beforehand, so, you know, can't think of many better days. But yeah, it has to be that for me. Madrid last year.
Nice.
Max, for yours?
Johnny Wilkinson's drop goal. Oh, it's just so cliche.
Yeah. Classic.
It's just a classic moment that I just remember as a kid. I'll never forget. We'll never forget, you know, that when he did it, and England winning the World Cup. And I hope in my lifetime we do see them win the World Cup again.
Went close last year.
Yeah, went really close. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, that's my all-time moment.
Austin, yours?
I think that would have been obviously one of mine as well. That was such a moment in time that in whatever sport you always just look back at that. It was such an amazing moment. I remember waking up, because obviously it was in Australia, so all the games were really early. I remember my dad had pulled the sofa to about a meter away from the TV, just, you know, so we could get the atmosphere. So I remember how good of a moment that was. And other sporting memories, I guess, another big one for me was the Ashes in 2005. That was such a
yeah.
Yeah.
Such a brilliant, not such a brilliant series, obviously, but it was so great that it wasn't just one game, one 80, 90 minutes, whatever. It was just captivating sport across the entire summer, whether it was, you know, all five tests, really. It was about a month and a half, 2 months of just edge of your seat stuff. So, yeah, I think those are two of my best sporting memories as a viewer.
I think that's what got me into cricket, actually, that series. Because I was not really into cricket at all before 2005, but that was just gripping, coming home from school and putting on every day.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
I'm just going to say quite a baseline, and it's got the best stories behind it. When I won the Teens Beach Touch rugby tournament with Philippe Saint-André as my captain.
Right, what story?
You know, Joe, that was going to be one of my favourites as well, actually.
That was second on Marley.
Yeah, that was in the top 10, I think, for me, Joe.
Well, you know. that was just a weird one. And he basically told me in the first games I was rubbish, and then I got better, which is good, in a way.
Well, you take that from him.
Well, international rugby coach, telling me better.
Yeah, you take that.
I mean, so, I think it's probably time to wrap up this Talking Rugby Union podcast. Firstly, Austin, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure. Great to be back. Yeah, great to be back involved anytime. Nice to speak to you guys. Keep up the good work as well. I keep following everything that you're doing on the website. So it's great to see that it's going from strength to strength. So keep up the good work, guys.
Well, none of it would have been possible without your early involvement, Austin. And we really appreciate you joining us, like I say. Max and Chris, I'm sure I'll be speaking to you in the next couple of days, generally the way it goes.
Yeah.
As always.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, guys. Really appreciate it and all the hard work and all the way your careers are developing and have developed. I think all three of you are really leading the way for young journalists and the directions that you're going in. And that's every credit to all of you. So, just keep doing what you're doing.
Because of the influence of the boss, that's why.
I won't go that far. But yeah, no, thank you very much, Joe, Chris, Austin. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise. Cheers, guys.
Brilliant. So thank you very much for listening to this Talking Rugby Union podcast. And I'm sure you'll hear us next time.